Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
And a happy New Year weekend to all. We know what that means in a parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. Trout season opens 8 a.m. this morning. Tons and tons of fish out there. You have the stock, and they all went out, even with the high water and the rain and everything. It's going to be a great weekend in the next 5 or 6, 7 weeks. They're putting trout all over the place. We're going to get into some numbers in there. Tog, season opened April 1st. Boats finally were able to, they got out the first couple of days, and the weather turned really good. Some good fishing, and they went out again Friday. Clam, mussels, green crabs, if you're on them, white leggers, or jigs or rigs, they're all working. Try this out, man. Try this if they get a little finicky. Some cooked shrimp, throw it out, frozen cooked shrimp, or a nice big chunk of sandworm. Yeah, the tog love, especially now, supposed to have the soft mouths going on. The shad run is on. All that's going crazy. But, again, give it until maybe Monday for that water in the Delaware River to go down. That's the only place that you can fish for them legal. Shout out to Edwin Bick, Mystic Island. Met him the other day. Now, Ed, that striper cap I sent out to you with my logo on the back, listen to me. What that means is sometime in the next 30 years, you're guaranteed a 50-inch and or 50-pound-plus bass. I can't say when or where you're going to catch it, but you wear that cap, and it is a guarantee. Hey, let's get to some numbers here. On Monday, Lake Shenandoah, the Rockland Radio area, Ocean County and down. Lake Shenandoah is going to get 420 trout. North Branch of the Teton, 360. South Branch of the Teton, 560. Prosper Lake, 290. Toms River, 600. Now remember, on the Teton and the Toms, you have to wait till 5 p.m. on that stocking day. Tuesday, Greenwich Lake gets 360. Harrisonville Lake, 360. Iona Lake, 330. Shadler Sandwash Pond, I love that place, 310. Swedesboro Lake, 410. Wednesday, Birch Grove Park Ponds, right down here behind the studio building, 300. Gloucester City Pond, 100. Grenlock Lake, 300. Hamilton Lake, 440. Laurel Pond, 200. Oak Pond, 330. And Rowan's Pond, little tiny hot little Rowan's, 100. On Thursday, April 10th, Crystal Lake, 420. Mary Elmer Lake, 400. Pemberton Lake, 420. Ponder Lodge Pond. I love the Ponder Lodge. 370. Shaw's Mill Pond, 400. South Violent Park Pond, another Rack and Fin Radio fave, 370. And Tuckahoe Lake, yet another one, 420. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. They have the full schedule of stocking, the actual days they're putting them in, and the amounts. Man, we have a really jammed show coming up. Jim Hutchinson Jr., Managing Editor, New Jersey Delaware Bay edition of Fisherman Magazine, talking stripers. Then we got some blue catfish, flathead catfish, a lot of stuff happening in the Delaware River. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. And let's hear it for Pickerel. We're going to hear about that later in the show. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And the WPG Talk Radio app.
Here we go to the gap below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. And it's very happy New Year weekend. Oh, man, what a time it is. I mean, everything is going on. But, you know, I want to talk about stripers right now. Specifically, you're hearing, I've been in contact with a lot of people, where are the bass? The bass up here, they're not up here yet. The big ones aren't here. They're still down south. They haven't arrived. Well, I know you have the two stocks, okay? You got the Chesapeake, you have the Hudson, what have you. Man, they've been catching fish 35, 40 inches now for a couple of weeks out front of Manasquan, out front of LBI. The bass are here. It's a matter of, I don't know, you got to fish for them. Now, the weather's been for bleak, you know, the past 3 days of the conditions. Things are on track. I put a call in to Jim Hutchinson Jr., Big Hutch. My main man, shout out to Big Hutch. You're coming out with some recipes. He's the managing editor of New Jersey Delaware Bay edition of Fisherman Magazine. By the way, check out the April edition. Absolutely killer. Just talking stripers, where are they? They're here, they're not. There's so much conjecture about where are the bass and when do they actually arrive at, I don't know. And then you have Fish Gray Tag Research, whatever, some science organization tracking stripes, and they just found one of the tags somewhere in the possession of someone from the Fisherman Magazine. It was Jenny Ackerman. Hutch is on the line with us right now. Hutch, one, great to have you on. Two, stripers are here, been catching them in the back and out in front. And three, gray fish tag research. What is happening, brother? That's a load. Go with it, man.
First thing, happy first day of trout.
Oh, yeah! Sorry, go ahead, man.
It's like a family holiday. And you're,
oh, yeah.
No, so if you haven't read about it in The Fisherman, so since 2019, we've been putting satellite tracking devices in a couple of stripers a year off the Jersey coast. It started with two of them up in the Hudson River in May of 2019, and every year we do it. It's part of something we call the Northeast Striped Bass Study. We're not researchers, we're not scientists, but yet we at the Fisherman Magazine and a bunch of our sponsors have been working with the folks at Gray Fish Tag Research since 2019 to do two types of things. One is to get green streamer tags distributed throughout the community here in the Northeast and New Jersey in particular, the for hire community. Dave Scholl, Freddie Gamboa and his crew up there, and Fletcher Chase, folks throughout the state of New Jersey have been putting these green streamer tags to track stripers of various sizes. But the jumbo stripers that have been carrying satellite tags for us every year are anywhere from 35 inches to 48 inches in length, right? So on Easter, just before Easter weekend, on Good Friday, we got a call from Gray Fish Tag Research at the Fisherman. They said, listen, one of the satellite tags that we all deployed last year just washed up on the beach. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool.
Right? Yeah.
Good Friday, Ocean County. Now, some investigation real quick with the folks at Gray as we're going out to go look for that tag. It was tagged by Chuck Manny off of Sandy Hook.
Chuck Manny, he's from Annandale, right?
Yes,
Chuck,
he is.
Yeah. Up in Hunter. Yeah, go. Sorry, Hook.
best striper fisherman I know, and I know he's a fantastic muskie fisherman.
He's unreal. Shout out to Manny. He is unreal. Chuck Manny, man. Go ahead.
So Chuck tagged this fish. It was 38 inches long off of Sandy Hook, November 26, 2023. This was the first time that we tagged the fish in the late fall to carry this tag through the first part of the winter. So for 4 months, we didn't know where this fish was. All we know is last week, tag pops up because we know that because it feeds a satellite. All the information that's stored inside this digital electronic high-tech tag, like the tags that the track sharks around the globe, it starts feeding the satellite, and the satellite tells our folks, hey, we're getting some information from this tag. It's a mile off the beach of La Valette. So anyway, jump forward. We go looking for it on the beach. Jenny Ackerman runs up there, and within 2 hours, she finds the tag.
Man, she's a bloodhound, man.
She's great, right?
Yeah.
She's great. So that's how we go into the Easter weekend. Now, here's the part that people have to think about, right? That fish was 38 inches long in November. We hadn't tagged one locally and then tracked it through the winter. This is like the first time we've done this. But all of a sudden, now we know. We know that 38-inch fish, which is probably, 39? Maybe it's a 40-inch fish. We know that fish was a mile off the beach at Seaside because that's where the tag popped up.
Yep.
That's where we got it. And then it floated into shore in a few days. So somewhere inside a mile, let's say, that 38 to 40 inch fish was off the beach at Seaside in La Valette. And big fish like that travel in school. So there's more of those big fish.
Oh yeah.
So you said something, Tom, before. You said, oh, the fish haven't arrived from the south yet. Well, where the heck are they coming from?
Right.
So those folks who say those fish haven't arrived, where are those fish from the south coming? Because if you're talking about the Chesapeake stock, they're already up the Chesapeake.
Yep.
So that's true. We haven't gotten those yet, but we're not going to see those until May. So what about the big fish that are spawning up the Delaware River and the big fish are spawning up the Raritan?
Oh, yeah.
Are they coming? Where are they coming from? Are they coming from the south? Are they coming from the east? So these are the things we don't know about. We just go by this guide of ours, by the calendar, and by the fact that all of our boats are still in dry dock before we bottom painted and gotten them ready,
right?
We're assuming that there's no fish out front of substantial size because, A, that's what the managers have told us, B, that's what the textbooks have told us, and C, that's what we assume, and that's why my boat's still not gotten bottom painted yet.
Listen, if I can interject for a second, I could hear through the line the vibe Hutch's blood pressure rising. Go ahead, Jim.
No, it's not. No, it's just that in my lifetime, I started first chasing stripers in 1990. You know, I it was too hard before then. I was a kid before then. I was a teenager. My buddies were working hard herring and trying to pen herring. It was hard, man. Yeah. And then it got easy, real easy. And now it's getting hard again. But there's so much we don't know about this striped bass. And I just don't think we're going to know enough until we get more people out trying to fish for them at times when they're not supposed to be where they are, right? So we have this grand theme, but this grand theory of things. But giant stripers are already in the area on the spawn. And there's probably going to be some of them up the Great Egg and up the Mullica as well, because those are traditional spawning grounds. Smaller areas, but traditional.
Right.
So.
Well, it's just you know, let me run this by, though. I get all the same press releases you do and all the biological studies, what have you, and the management thing. Is it the impending, unless even more restrictions are going to be made or continued for X number of years, population going to crash, or is it a Chicken Little type of thing?
Based on
what we don't know. Like, again, this tag coming back, or what we don't know.
Just like the political debate in this country, the answer is somewhere in the middle. You know, I don't think it's the Chicken Little thing. I don't think the sky is falling. I don't think we're doomed just because we're not seeing, you know, what we saw. But by the same token, I can't say that look at the bite in November in Monmouth County and how good it was. There's nothing wrong with the striped bass fishery. The answer is somewhere in the middle. You know, if you look at the charts coming out of the ASMFC of spawning stock biomass, at the far right of the chart, which is where we are now, you know, it's not the past history. Where we are now is on the far right of the chart. The chart's going up. We're rebuilding the stock, actively rebuilding the stock. So that's good. You know, I think the bad part is the Chesapeake, which used to be the estuary, the nursery grounds for most of our stripers along the coast.
Right.
The Chesapeake is not producing. On an annual basis, it is not producing good classes of new fish. That's troubling. But up until last year, the Hudson was producing great classes. Last year was the first down year in the Hudson, like really significantly down year in the Hudson in 7 or 8 years. So, No, I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. I do think that we all as anglers recognize there's got to be some type of conservation.
Sure.
Do we all agree on the 28 to 31 inch slot? Then you're going to start drawing into a debate area, you know?
Sure, I just spoke to a fellow angler. Listen, I don't have friends. I have enemies and acquaintances, and we know that. But from down Maryland, the Maryland rec season is closed now for a month or something, isn't it?
Yeah, Maryland's got tougher restrictions because they're trying to protect those spawning fish up the Chesapeake. Because what fish are there? Look, here's the bottom line, and everybody's got to remember this. We can't control the spawning success on any given year. We have no control over that. That's all environmental. It has to do with predation. You know, listen, we're having a blue catfish problem, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tangled up in blue, what?
So there are a lot of reasons why we have no control over the spawn. All we can do is make sure there are as many jumbo egg-worthy stripers in that estuary when the lottery hits. That's all this spawning thing is a lottery. We're hoping that the lottery comes through this year, and oh boy, there's lots of baby stripers. It's going to be a great year coming up 5 years from now. So that's what it's all about.
Hutch, I'll tell you, that's why I like when's the hatchery truck due? Okay.
You know, there's a lot of discussion about that too. There's been hatchery raised stripers in the past.
Oh yeah.
But you know, there's also an element of, you know, what do we do if we introduce more of those into the stock? Is that going to impact the wild stock? So
it has to stock. That's why they stopped. Well, again, it was they can't reproduce, so they stocked them. Then there was a 1 in 10,000 chance they could reproduce. But Jimmy, I don't know if you remember early 1990s, the hybrid stripers, which are a great game fish in those areas where they can, because they are escape artists. But there's a chance that crossbred, and so they put the brakes on those. So they can be raised in a hatchery environment, but I don't know about the pure strains. That's a tough call, and it will definitely, don't you think, eventually weaken the genetic chain?
In the wild, perhaps, I mean, where fish are able to migrate, you know, there's pure strains up in Beltsville in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
You can catch those, right? So, once you open up those borders, I wonder about that. But, you know, they've been introduced before. Look, the thing about it is, and I firmly believe this, and I tick off friends in Florida and my freshwater friends because they don't buy it. The striped bass is America's fish. It really is. It was there at the foundation of the Plymouth colony of all of our founding fathers here in the country. And then as westward expansion grew, we shipped baby stripers out to the west coast from the Navisink River on a train car. That's where the San Francisco Bay.
Yeah, exactly right.
So westward expansion and the introduction of striped bass and wipers or hybrid stripers throughout the United States, it's all coming from here. It is America's fish. So
that's open to debate, Hutch Bob, but I'm with you. That's open to debate. You know what happened to me? By the way, wasn't it April 5th or April 4th or 5th Plymouth was established? Oh boy, there we go. Let's open up another thing going on there. They caught too many stripers.
They funded the first public school on taxes from striped bass, and if I'm not mistaken, that's where our first fisheries law comes from. I think somebody was using striped bass for fertilizer, and they had to abolish that because they had to protect.
Let me run this by because it goes back decades now. Why not? Why not the politics involved? But why not a striped bass scratch off lottery ticket or license plates? You got it for every thing else.
We tried them when I was at the RFA. First of all,
you did.
We tried it. We had everything all drawn up and everything. First of all, with the lottery ticket, we thought that was a great idea. But the people that own the lottery money that's coming now, they didn't want anybody else getting their grubby hands on anything, right? So I don't know. I don't want to say who gets the lottery proceeds now, because I don't want to defame anybody. But they're the ones that said, "Get out of my till. That's my money. Go find your own way of getting money. Go have a bake sale." So then we tried the license plate, like a Marine Coastal District striped bass license. Well, then it wouldn't pass through the Department of Transportation because they said, no, keep your mouth. We said, you can get a square dancing license plate. Why can't I get a fish license plate that supports fisheries research? I think the last we left it, we were told if we laid out the money, we meaning the community, if we laid out the money and bought the first round of license plates, they would do it. So the state has just gotten screwed up. This is a moneymaker. The state could have invested in this, put a striped bass on a license plate like you do with the Barnegat Lighthouse, like you do for square dancers, and you could have raised money for the Marine District of New Jersey and raised money. But they wanted to make us jump all through hot obstacles, and by the time we got through the entire obstacle race, then they said, now you lay out the money for the license plate. We said, screw it. We're out of it.
Hold it, Hutch. Jeez, right up on my screen. Jeez, just what came up. I got something here from Square Dancers or Us. Oh, boy, Hutch. You started something.
I do not mean to disrespect any square dancer in the state of New Jersey. I love it. Love Hutch, square dancers.
You take care. Best of Michelle and everybody. We'll see you on the water, man.
Happy Trout Day, Tommy.
See you. Bye. Jim Hutchison Jr., always great, great guest. Come up. Go, Chris. I'm totally discombobulated this time of year, man. Coming up, Captain Dom Troisi talking Delaware stripers, Delaware flatheads, Delaware shed, and those blue catfish. Ooh, the pervasive invasive. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. More gun control could be coming to Colorado if lawmakers there in that state get their way. Democrats hold a majority in the Colorado legislature, and they're putting forward bills intending to limit access to firearms. One is a bill banning so-called assault weapons, otherwise known as semi-automatic rifles, such as AR-15 types. But they also want to slap an 11% tax when purchasing guns and ammo. And that would be in addition likely to the state sales tax of 2.9% plus whatever each municipality throws on top of that. And then there's a new bill that would restrict where legally carrying people can actually carry. That's similar to laws already being fought in New Mexico, California, and New York State. While these laws have yet to pass, Colorado Democratic Governor Jared Polis is considered likely to sign them. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 has teamed up with Seize the Deal for incredible weekly offers from some fantastic local restaurants. Here's this week's big deal.
Get a $50 gift card, good for use at the Ravioli House in Wildwood for just $25.
This great deal is on sale now at SeizeTheDeal.com. Hurry, chances are this deal will sell quickly. For more info on this great deal, go to SeizeTheDeal.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Shad season is going full tilt boogie. Now that rain has the Delaware going like, what they call that, the Hell's Gate section of the Congo River. The only nastier place than that is maybe the Nile on a bad day. But I'll tell you, the shad are there. Have a great, great opportunity and pleasure to fish with Captain Dom Troisi, full draw bow fishing. Yes, he does a lot of rod and reel stuff. On Easter morning, yes, I am a heathen. My lovely Dee Marie was at church, and we are there catching some shad. They're right in Trenton, of all places. Let me tell you something. Again, growing up in Newark around the Passaic River, there is an urban beauty, and it's a juxtaposition too, because on the one side, you have all the unfinished construction on the Trenton side and traffic. On the other side, what's that, Morrisville, I guess? You have a beautiful park, and it's just a really great place to fish. Banged some shad, looked on Captain Dom's graph. Said, Captain Dom, what are they? He said, those are shad. Those are stripers. Move a little bit over here. Those are channel cats. Those are flatheads. And those are the blues. Now, the blue catfish, this is, we've had some biologists on about the invasive species situation going on. I guess earlier, that was last fall, had a piece in the Fisherman, Tangled Up in Blue, reference to, of course, Dylan's great song there, Tangled Up in Blue Catfish. These things are as, how would you say, are as hungry and as environmentally damaging as their flathead kin. Now, the flatheads, Captain Dom's catching, his fares are catching them 50 pounds and up. These blues are going to get just as big. We discuss it in between catching netting shad and whatever and talking hunting, fishing, and some politics in general. The damage that these blue catfish can do. I said, Captain Dom, what about what can do for it? He says, great terms. Man, it's brilliant. Great term. Tom P., put a value on it, and you can somehow maybe minimize or contain the damage. Take advantage of the resource. Captain Dom took some, well, you got a little bit of a break with this flood thing going on. Join us on Rack and Fin Radio this morning. Captain Dom, by the way, Happy New Year. I know you don't trout fish, but you used to be. But hey, how's it going? Glad to have you on Rack and Fin. Great Easter Sunday morning, by the way, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, that was fun. It was good. Fishing's good. Fishing was good before the rain. I don't know how it is now, but.
Hey, Dom, man, those roe shad, they kick ass on that light tackle. Yeah. That was crazy. But, Dom, again, looking at your charts, and we had a listeners, my proclivity is way back when some of my antecedents are in freshwater fisheries, biology, and technical stuff. Dom, those blue cats, welcome or not, they're here. The same thing was said with the flatheads. Now you have a great snakehead bow fishery going on. I know you don't run real the snakeheads, rather, but the Delaware in particular seems to be the vector, at least in New Jersey, for the establishment of these invasive species, and they're spreading, going up the DNR Canal. They're going to be in the Raritan if they're not there already. Dom, your take on the blue catfish, is it a full-blown invasion yet, like at the southern border? My opinion, people. Or is it just a slow and gradual but inevitable evil?
Well, you know, it's slow right now up where I am, but you hear the guys down south that are catching them pretty good and some bigger fish. I've heard some fish up in the 40-pound range almost. So.
Whoa, 40 blues or 40-pound blues already?
Yeah, I heard a guy just maybe 10 miles south of me had five fish over 30 pounds last week. So, whoa. You know, I didn't see them, but.
Dom, you guys are keyed in. You don't BS each other because I know the biz. Yeah. I know the people. But, Captain Dom, how does this auger for, as we were discussing, forage fish populations, but also the smaller sizes of the game fish populations, vis-a-vis walleye, smallmouth? These things will even chomp on muskies, will they not?
Yeah, they'll eat whatever they can catch. You know, they're not quite as they won't eat the bigger baits like a flathead will, but, you know, we talked about it when we were shad fishing. You know, in the fall, we see bushels and bushels of blue claws up on the flats. And I haven't seen them in 3 years, like one here, one there. But, I mean, there was nights 5-6 years ago where you would see 300-400 crabs a night. We're not seeing them.
I didn't realize blue claws went up that far.
Yeah, they go all the way up to Calhoun Street.
Get out! Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I've seen them in the Raritan up there by Boundbrook during drought periods when the salinity line goes up. But so you haven't seen that in years, so that means the blues have been here that long. Because the listeners down in the Chesapeake, they are wreaking havoc on the blue claw population. So, and that's big money down there. So, Don, this is critical.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, they're going to eat. You know, everybody's worried about the herring population, the shad population. You know, they've done their research, I guess. But they're not considering how much the blue cats will eat those fry, you know, the smaller herring, the smaller shad, you know, and then when the bigger shad, you know, you got the bass come up eating them and you got the flathead definitely eating them. So these things are going to really take a toll. Like, going to get bad.
You just struck a point with Don. Bing, alarm goes off in Tom P's dense coconut noggin here. The shad population, may be a part of it, people. His recreation limit has dropped to 2. Who eats shad? The roes are right, but the rest, yeah. You know, but again, the shadlings coming down, Captain Dominic, have no chance.
No, I mean, it's we need them in the river because we have a good population of smallmouths. It's definitely not what it used to be.
Right.
The walleyes are coming back. We're catching them in the tidal section pretty good in the spring, but I really feel these blue cats are going to be a real problem here in the next 5 years, like real bad.
Well, Captain Dom, you made a great point, and it was so put a value on them. Now they're encouraging hardcore Virginia, Maryland, and even in Delaware, the catching and harvesting of blue cats. Again, they put a value on it. It seems here in Jersey, they don't want to establish a state record program for the blues or the flatheads or the northern snakeheads, by the way, which people are pretty damn good eating. Wouldn't you agree, Captain Dow?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. I have customers that come from all over just to get snakeheads to eat.
Putting a value on it, explain that. Make the research so people want to come and catch them and keep. I don't know, it just made so much sense.
Well, I don't want to say put a bounty because that would stir a pot. But
yeah.
Down south in Maryland, where they have a real issue, they waited too long, and now there's a value where the snakeheads and the blue cats are being served in restaurants.
Yep.
So there's a commercial value that will keep those fish in check. The best that you can do in a 9-foot tidal section. So if the state would allow us to be able to sell invasive freshwater fish, such as snakeheads, and, you know, they bring real money. And you're going to have people that want to catch them, but they're not going to want to overfish them. They want to keep them in check so they can honestly make a paycheck throughout the year messing with them. So let the people that do it for a living make a living doing it. I mean, there's money to be made, and everybody's going to win. So I think it's an untouched resource, and the state won't ever allow, as far as I know, the sale of freshwater fish. So,
pardon the pun, listeners, pun intended, a bone of contention. Join us online is Captain Dom Troisi, full draw bow fishing, based out of Trenton, talking to Blue Cat, for lack of a better term, Blue Cat pre-invasion. Like it's a pre-invasion, but they're coming in numbers. And, Dom, they are obviously reproducing, correct?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we're catching them from a pound and a half up to, you know, 10, 15 pounds where I'm at.
So, Dom, they do have a predator in maybe a muskie or a bigger flathead when they're in that small size, a fingerling size up to maybe a pound, 2 pounds, correct? But there's not enough there. If they're that prolific, hey, they're not going to be able to keep up with it.
No, and the panfish population can't keep up, and, you know, it's just another predator in the river, in a river that we don't need anymore. I mean, we really, like the snakeheads, they slowly grew. They were dumped in, like, you know, a million of them dumped in one area where it really crushed the population of everything. But now, you know, you're seeing a lot of them. You know, so there's some nights we see 100 snakeheads. So that's just what we see.
Right.
You know, in a lights shine a 12-foot area, 15-foot area. I can't imagine what these blue cats are going to be like. Like I said, in 5 years, you know, it's going to be way out of control.
Gavin Dom, now, inevitable forage fish and other game fish population crash? Is that possible? I mean, that's a nightmare scenario.
You know, we've had the flathead thing. So with the flatheads, everybody was like, no, it's not a big deal, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we've taken them and we've cut them open with 3-pound smallmouth in them. So,
whoa!
I mean, if you think about it, these bass, these muskies and stuff like that, they hang around structure. And same thing a flathead does. Well, that bass is going to fit in its mouth. It's going to eat it. So that's the problem with the flatheads. And the blue cats are pretty much the same thing, but with smaller mouths. So the juvenile bass, the juvenile walleyes, you know, the sport fish per se, are going to be in trouble here in the next couple of years. It's everything that comes up the river. So it's not like, it's just a, you know, small area. It's everything from the Delaware Bay on up past Trenton. If they go up into the whitewater, I got no idea.
Yeah, right. I was just going to ask you that, Dom, because they're getting flatheads. We've seen them call all the way up by the water gap, and I hear north. Blues, though, seem to, that Trenton makes Calhoun Street Bridge area seems to be right now sort of a, like, their demarcation line. But you said, like, the high water like they have now, you don't know. Can they move? Will they move? They have tails.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I don't know anybody above me that's caught them, but, you know, the river's at 17 feet right now, so, you know, in a couple of days, they could be all the way out past Lambertville. I got no idea, but it's going to happen. It's just when.
Okay, Dom. And Dom, one thing, too. How the competition, blues, flatheads, and the stripers. And, well, I'm going to talk about the sturgeon. That's a whole other topic. Captain Dom's going to be, I'm going to get his ass in here. I'm going to sit down for a full hour and talk about that. But, Captain Dom, striper fishing up your way is out of control. Great. In the long run, now the competition, so even though it's a periodic thing, they come up, they go down. With the flatheads and the blues, what do you think?
Well, stripers got to eat. You know, they're there to spawn. So I think our biggest issue is forage fish. You know, when the herring don't show up or the bass show up before the herring or vice versa, whatever, then bass are going to eat the same thing the flatheads are eating. Blue cats, the snakeheads are going to eat the perch, the bluegills. You know, I've caught them, you know, cat flathead fishing. I've caught plenty of bass on live bluegills or live perch. I don't know. The river's changing. That's for sure.
Wow. Okay, I'm down. Let's talk about your biz, full draw bow fishing now. Bow and arrow four, what? Snakeheads, flatheads, carp, what's the dealio?
Yep, we do snakeheads, catfish, gizzard shad, carp, grass carp. We shoot goldfish.
Listen, those amours, those Russian, the grass carp, how big do they get? I've seen them in there. Now, they're almost sturgeon size. Not quite, but almost sturgeon size.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest one I've seen was the Daniels, which is state record. That was 76 pounds. So they get big.
Man, that's a net. Dom, what a new boat, listen, this guy has. Woo! It is the state of the art. But it's something that big, Dom, that can even give that boat and guys our size a Nantucket sleigh ride, don't you think?
Yeah. You're not kidding.
Now, Dom, you will hook and line for, you can't boat for stripers, but you hook and line for stripers and the cats, correct? And the shad?
Right. Yep, I do shad this time of year, and then we'll do straight bass fishing, and we'll gradually bring in, you know, as the water warms up, we'll switch over to catfish and flatheads mainly, but I'll do channel cats and blue cats, obviously.
How big are the channels, Dom? I've seen some in the Delaware at 10, 15 pounds. You get them that big or bigger?
Yeah, we had a couple the other night that were 15, 18 pounds.
Minga, more.
Probably about 50 of them.
Wow.
But it's that time of year. They're going to be feeding heavy right now.
Yeah, April is the time, people. Like I said, this is a Happy New Year month, the Fool's Month. Tom P is a fool as we know that. But this is pure fishing. I'm Delaware River. What a resource. All the way down, we caught the stripers down Paulsboro straight up. They're all the way up past the gap. They're all the way up in New York State now. So, and Pensy, it's a wild fishery. Dom, just back to the shad before I let you go. I noticed we were the only ones shad fishing. Now, shad might get popular. You get to Lambertville and north, you know, Bulls Island, Rosemont up there. Have you noticed the interest in shad fishing in the Trenton area and below sort of waning? I mean, there was nobody. We were knocking a stop. Dom, where is everybody? You got, listen, you have people there plugging for stripers, dropping baits or cats, going to bank sides for the largemouth and smallmouth. Don, we were the only shadders there that morning.
Yeah, that's the most I'll see in a day is maybe 2-3 guys shad fishing in the lower section. Now with the construction going on in Trenton for the last few years, you know, nobody's fishing the banks, but before that construction, the banks would be lined up when the shad came through.
And now we saw nothing. Wow.
No, I mean, I can fish a week and not see really maybe 1-2 boats doing it.
Does it get any better than that? A crowded state like New Jersey on a venue like the Delaware River. Dom, do a favor, we're up against a heartbreak. Give that Facebook website page and phone number.
Yeah, so it's Full Draw Bow Fishing as my Facebook page. My website is fulldrawbowfishing.com. And my phone number is 609-820-5595.
Listen, it's banging out of flatheads that get tangled up in blue, I'm telling you. Hey, Dom, you know, maybe I catch stripers, all my striper fishing. Tell me, these things pull harder than a bass, in my opinion. Not that I get the big bass, like 50 pounds, but they pull harder than a bass any day of the week. What do you think? Uh-oh, am I going to get you in trouble?
No, flathead fishing is... it's either you can do it or you can't. It's a hard fisher to figure out because it's such a big tide swing, 9 feet. So, you know, you have to really know what you're doing to catch them things. But, you know, you can get some good nights. You get 20, 25 flatheads in a night.
Man, that'd beat it. I don't care who you are. That'd beat it. You'd be Jake Paul. That'd beat your ass up, man.
Yeah. I had a fellow last year that went, year before, like fish number 10. It was like an hour and a half into the trip. He was done. He was like, I can't even move my arms. He's like, I'm good with these things. So, but we stayed, and I think we ended up catching like 37. And I reeled in most of them because he was just worn out, tired.
Whoa, okay.
Best fish he's ever heard of for flatheads.
Captain Dye, yeah, this is even better than go. My first flathead I caught, I was fishing out in Ohio of all places. I'm using live goldfish. I mean, not goldfish, like a little time. I mean, goldfish. And I said, man, if these things, boy, it's a shame we don't have these in Jersey. Well, be careful what you wish for, people, because they are wreaking havoc. Captain Dom, thanks for your insight. Have a great season. Hope to see you soon.
All right, Tom P., thank you.
See you. Way long in that segment, up against the break. Captain Dom Troisi, Full Draw, flatheads, blues, big channels, stripers, shad. And you got to see these sturgeon. They were coming up, rolling, breaching. That was something else. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, April rules.
Mark Levin.
Are you going to be played by Joe Biden? Joe Biden's using the tactics of totalitarian autocratic leaders around the world, of totalitarian autocratic bigots from 100 years ago in our own country. Are you going to be played by this guy? You think our country is safer? You know it's not. You think your neighborhoods are cleaner and safer? You know they're not.
Mark Levin on South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Chris DeMeo. President Biden traveling to the site of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore Friday after approving $60 million in recovery money for Maryland.
My administration is committed, absolutely committed, to ensuring that the parties responsible for this tragedy pay to repair the damage and be held accountable to the fullest extent the law will allow.
The president says crews are likely to have the full channel cleared by the end of May. A rare earthquake rattling millions in the Northeast on Friday, including New York City and Philadelphia.
4.8 earthquake centered in New Jersey, but felt across so many areas. 139 years since the greater New York City has experienced any earthquake like this. In New Jersey, likely around 240 years.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, times of clouds and sun with a shower in places, breezy with a high of 54. For tonight, clear skies with a low of 37. Tomorrow, times of clouds and sun, high 55. Tomorrow night, a starlit sky with a low of 32. On Monday, sunny to partly cloudy skies, high 64. Monday night, mainly clear skies with a low of 47. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom Peters, Captain Dom Troisi. Oh, man, the Delaware River is on fire. All sorts of fish. Big Blues, Big Flatheads, Fish will kick your ass. Got a wire early, super early Friday morning from Fish Bites. Hey, hey, hey. The Grub, the Fight Club. Remember that? Those the 5 and 6 inch grubs they really pushed last year. Some new formulas, new colors came out. Kicked some summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke, rather, asses up and down the Jersey Shore. We just got the announcement. Two new colors have been released. Join us on the line right now. She's on the road, going to do some filming with Captain Rick Murphy, Sports and Adventures. Hey, Captain Rick, remember Flamingo with the banana spiders? Whoa, I thought I was going to die. It's VP of Marketing and Advertising for Fish Bites, the Dynamic, Courtney Marie Wozniak, and she is on the road going to see Captain Rick do some filming. Courtney, glad to get you on the fly. Talk about these new colors, and then real quick, get into the Fish Bites No Stink technology. Go!
That's right. So we just came out with two new colors. So you've got the Slugger. That is the electric chicken-esque. So it's the green and pink with a little glitter in it. And then we could not go without making a pink shiner. So that's a pink and white. Got a beautiful sheen on it. It glows almost in the water.
Pink shiner. So awesome. Pink shiner. Right. Good name. Hey, did you name that or was that Mike? Or Terry?
Look, we all collaborated. I believe Terry was the winner on that one. So
okay, Courtney, yeah, the testing that went into these colors, how long on the drawing board, how long the testing before your scientists bang? Listen, it's like a laboratory down there. It's amazing down there in St. Augustine. Go into that, Court.
It is, yeah. So it is really all based on science. So we do put a lot of research into it. You know, the flavor and scent technology, the secret sauce, you know, we spent decades, Dr. Carr spent decades creating that. And so, you know, our baits are totally different than anybody else's. If you look at the Fight Club series, it's, you know, we have no plastics in our baits. So all of that secret sauce is directly injected into those baits. So when the bait hits the water, the sauce doesn't just come off of it, you know, like other baits.
Right.
It actually releases into the water, creates a powerful scent trail. There's nothing like it. Extremely durable, again. And so with those two new colors, we really wanted to take the gloves off for 2024, pack a big punch with the new colors, and we're going to continue to innovate.
Well, Court, even last year and year before, by the way, this was at the boat shows, the Fisherman Magazine had partnered with Fish Bites and the Fight Club in particular.
Absolutely.
But your guys at the booth, they kept running out of baits. The word was out.
Right.
And the one thing that, to a T, the scent, the hydrogel technology, that's one thing. But to a T, everyone talked about the durability of the grubs, especially the tails.
That's right. Yep. And that's the best part, is you can catch multiple fish on one bait. I mean, we've had guys and gals up north catching, you know, 7, 8, 10 fish on one bait. I mean, you think about that.
Wow.
And the cost savings of, you know, you're not losing your bait, you know, when you're putting it out in the water. It's staying on the hook and it's lasting a long time.
Joyce on the Rack and Fin radio line this morning, April 6th. Happy New Year. Opening day of trout season up here in the Great Garden State is Courtney Marie Wozniak. I love that name. Courtney Marie Wozniak, VP of Marketing and Advertising for Fish Bites, based down there in St. Augustine. Now, Fish Bites has been around since, what, 98, 99? The whole lineup now,
yeah.
The progression to the Fight Club series, a lot of tweaking, I understand, went on. So now you guys are going full bore, guns blazing for into 2024, correct?
That's right. I mean, we've got the five shapes, and we're going to continue to innovate those colors, and we don't plan on stopping. So,
Courtney, one thing I noticed, that the bottoms of the 5-inch, now this is the Fight Club, the 6-inch grub. The 5-inch grub we use actually out front pretty well, too, but in the back, is more of a baby. It's a flat bottom or flat head. Go into that difference. Is that made for a different jig? Do you guys have your own jig heads?
We do have our own jig heads. They're made specifically for the Fight Club series. They're a little on the lighter side. So for the grubs, you know, we are coming out, you know, we're going to look into some heavier jig heads, but, you know, the 6-inch grubs, obviously a larger bait profile, you know, deeper water, larger fish, you want to keep that, you know, moving through the water good with that tail and that action. The smaller, the 5-inch, dirty boxer curly tail,
right,
does have that flat side. And, you know, so that's really meant to be bumped along the bottom. That smooth side just slides right along that, you know, the sandy bays, or, you know, you can bounce it against the rocks as well. But, yeah, so two different profiles, two different sizes. Definitely going to be killing the fluke this season, so we're excited about it.
Okay, Corey, listen, before I let you go, go film it with Captain Rick Murphy. I love Rick, man. And beautiful wife, Kathy. His kids, oh, my God. Where did the time go? Yeah, now, Corey, you're fishing with the grubs. You catch a fish at the end of the day. I want to change. Put the bait back in the bag or no? And if not, is it biodegradable?
Yeah, don't put the bait back in the bag. You know, we want to keep the integrity of the other baits, really good. So I would recommend not putting the bait back in the bag. Make sure that bag is sealed up and keep it in a cool, dry place. Just keeps those baits super fresh. And again, yes, they are biodegradable. We never want to throw stuff in the water, though, right? So,
right.
Trash them. But if, let's say, you lose a bait in the water, a fish takes bait all the way down, it's okay. It will pass, and it is biodegradable. So we try to keep things as environmentally friendly as possible at fish bites.
Well, Courtney, listen, have a great season. I know you're on the water a lot. This young lady catches, everything. And Courtney, I know you're very diminutive physically, and some of the fish are bigger than she is. No problem. She kicks their ass. Courtney, do me a favor.
That's right.
Give that Fish Bites website or Facebook page, please.
Yep. So it's fishbites.com, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, Courtney, take care. Travel safe. Hope to see you sometime.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, Tunica, that pink shiner. That was, and you were wondering, because the Gull Pink Shine ruled. Again, every year ago, it's there. Colors, for some reason, rule. Well, there's some competition now. It's called Pink Shiner Fish Bites. Grab that cup. Grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on this weekend, the total solar eclipse on Monday is expected to result in major traffic along the path of totality. Hear what's ahead. Also, the reasons for the disconnect between what electric vehicle makers are offering versus what consumers are expecting. Plus, the quest by Hidden Valley Ranch for global domination and where lost luggage on a plane gets resold. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Hey, that'll wrap it up for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Again, a happy new year to all parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens. Indeed, course for a new year celebration. Trout season kicks off today at 8 a.m. Hey, just a reminder, the Women, Veteran, and Active Duty Fishing Day is going to be held at Lake Juliana, Ponderosa Estate Farm. It's going to be April 20th. Lake Juliana, one of the best private fisheries in the state, if not the planet. Give Karen Noah a call, 732-245-2751. Okay, all the talk about trout and stripers and blue cats and channel cats and flathead cats and what have you. What about the pickerel? My really close to me, number one freshwater game fish in New Jersey. They're savage, man. Every turn of the calendar page, you can catch pickerel. Hey, great pickerel tournament coming up on the 13th. That's next Saturday. Moore Deer Club's annual, 18th annual, I should say, chain pickerel, not redfin, not bar, chain pickerel tournament. And the Moore Deer Club, joining us online right now from the Moore Deer Club, is Ryan Holbrook, a.k.a. Muskrat, to talk about this event. Hey, Ryan, how's it going, little brother?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Pickerel, come on, baby, you're badass.
Hey, finally some love for the Piney Torpedoes.
You hear them called snot darts and all that stuff. They are slime darts. They are a great, great fish, and we have some big-ass pickerel here in South Jersey. Although, what I understand, the tournament is statewide. Go into the particulars, entry fee, the rules and regs. Go. You got a couple of minutes.
All right, here we go. So it's 15 the enter. You can fish any lake of your choice. Registration we did the night before at our clubhouse, which is 62 Bozar Town Road in Tabernacle, 08088. $5, we do a lunker pool. So basically, the day of the tournament on Saturday, April 13th, you go out, sunrise, you go out, fish any lake you want. Where you take the combined weight of three pickerel. Three pickerel must be alive. You got to bring them back to the clubhouse for weighing. Weighing 4 o'clock strict. As soon as I look at my phone and I got an alarm saying, well, as soon as that goes off, if you're not out of your trucks and sitting by me, we're not counting the fish. If you're pulling in, peeling wheels, then we're not going to count 4 o'clock, weighing starts, no ends or ifs or buts.
In other words, he's saying, people, You're not there for SOL, baby.
Hey, yes, sir. Well, yes, sir.
Now, what's the entry fee?
Entry fee is $15.
Okay, what about kids, teenagers? What's the dealio?
Oh, yep. Any youth angler from 15 and below, they come with a parent. Parent signs up. Any youth angler is free entry. It's not free entry into the locker, which is $5.
Right.
But it's free entry into the whole tournament. And what we do is I tell everybody, come back for weigh-in. Every kid that signs up and comes back at the weigh-in walks out with a door prize, and then we also raffle off a huge rod and reel tackle box combo to one lucky kid at the very end.
Wow! That is fantastic.
Try to get the youth involved.
Again, the whole thing, right, we're speaking with, I'm too fired up, Pickerel. Ryan Holbrook, a.k.a. Muskrat, the Moore Deer Club's 18th annual Pickerel tournament is going to be Saturday the 13th. The Deer Club is based at 62 Bozarth Town Road in Tabernacle. For the GPS to get there, 08088. You got the 50-50 Lunker Pool. But the whole thing about a Pickerel tournament, your bass tournaments, you know, the trout opening day tournaments, why'd you guys key in on a Pickerel? Man, it's a native. It's just a great fish, but nobody really does it that much. There's one other tournament coming up. That's it.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the pond. You know, that's for us. We have the cranberry bogs and all that, and that's basically what we catch. So we keyed in the people, the community of what we fish for or what we majority catch, and it works. Last year we had 90 anglers come out. 90.
Whoa!
Anglers. That's almost 50 boats.
Yeah, man, that's great. That is great. Let's just try to get their Pickerel. Show some love for the chain sides. Again, registration is 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the clubhouse. Again, 62 Bozarth Town Road in Tabernacle. $300 first prize, $100 second place, and the Lunker 50-50 Lunker Pool. Extra 5 beans for the Lunker Pool. But there are, some, especially on the outskirts of those pines, right, there are some big, they're northern pike size, man.
Oh, yeah. It's like I said, it's neat having people from all over the state do this now.
Okay, great. Ryan, for more information, where do they go?
Give me a call at 609-923-0492, or you can actually go on Moore Deer Club's Facebook page. It should be posted on there, and that's basically it.
And Moore Deer Club, M-O-O-R-E. Ryan, I'm going to try to scare out. I think I have a couple of freshwater rack and fin radio caps. I'll try to get those out in the mail to you.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Brother, be good. God spares. We'll see you next week. Rock and roll!
That's right. Thank you.
Take care. Too much fun. Gotta love the Pickerel. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy plenty of trout out there, especially get the youngsters out. A lot of fun. And don't forget the tournament up there at Pacon Lake in Tuckerton, right there along Route 9. Go to Empire Fishing and Tackle to register. Hamburgers, hot dogs, all that good stuff. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.